Devils Productions presents The Great Deep.
Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of The Great Deep. My name is Ryan Calder, your host for the show, and this podcast runs parallel to the music of The Great Deep album. For those who don't know, this Great Deep podcast series is basically an extension or further exploration of what the songs and some of the themes in the songs are about. In this episode, we're asking the question, is your life too busy? As usual, there's a blog post on the subject which you can read about. The link will be in the show notes. And there are some additional thoughts and views around the subject. When I was growing up, my folks purchased a cassette tape. Remember those things? Cassettes. It was a live recording of Stephen Curtis Chapman in concert. And in the middle of a song called Busy Man, he yells out to the crowd, "Is there anyone here who feels like your life is just a bit too busy?" And there was a unanimous roar from the crowd. Everyone felt like they were too busy in 1993. So little has changed. In fact, it seems like it's got worse. Most people blame technology for the current mayhem lifestyle we all live, specifically cell phones. There is now a psychological condition called nomophobia. It is the fear of being without a cell phone. And I would hazard a guess that most people listening to this have some measure of this psychological condition. Now I'm serious. If you don't believe me, then try answering these questions and let's do an audit on our lives. Number one, you feel anxious when your phone battery gets low. Does your heart start racing and palms begin to sweat when your phone drops into the low battery section? In all seriousness, worrying that you will become uncontactable and unable to check your emails and social feeds at a future point is a clear sign of nomophobia. Number two, you can't leave the house without your smartphone. Can't even pop into the shop without your phone. Being unable to contemplate being without your smartphone, even for the most mundane activities, indicates an unhealthy obsession. Perhaps you need to go on a digital detox and gradually spend more and more time out and about without your phone. Why? Because the world suddenly gets a lot more interesting when you're not head down scrolling through your feeds. Trust me, you'll feel and be a lot more sociable. Number three, you feel annoyed when you can't access your phone. Another clear sign that you suffer from smartphone separation anxiety is feeling irritated when you can't use your phone. Perhaps someone told you to put it down over dinner and it hit a nerve. Number four, you put your life or others' lives at risk to check your smartphone. It's recently become illegal to use your phone while driving. If you text while driving, your reaction times are actually 2 times slower than if you were drinking and driving, and 3 times slower if you use a handheld phone. A very clear and serious sign that you are addicted to your smartphone is if you believe that replying to the message immediately is more important than prioritizing your safety and that of those around you. Number five. You use your phone to check for work updates while on holiday. Do you take your phone to the beach? It's reported that 60% of us don't come back from holiday feeling refreshed because we stay in contact with work and check our emails, or we're on social media feeds. A clear sign of nomophobia and a poor work-life balance is not being able to go without checking work messages on your phone whilst on annual leave. Why not remove emails from your phone for a week? Well, speaking of smartphones, One of the most popular app downloads for the last 4 years is an app called Calm. Now, there are others like it, and essentially what they point to is an ironic trend in using your cell phone to have a calm voice talk to you through a series of mindfulness exercises. They basically help you be present in the moment, talk to you about how to breathe, and calming down the busyness of your mind. On that last point about nomophobia, my wife and I have made a point of trying to go away every school holiday for enforced downtime with no cell phones and no TV. This is easier said than done. Obviously, you have to be in contact. But ideally, there'll be a big bra area or a fire pit where we can all sit around as a family under the stars at night. Sometimes we'll take a pack of cards or board games, books, bicycles, and just be together. Of course, holiday is one thing. But I have found that holidays twice a year is not really enough to cope with the demands that life brings nowadays in terms of busyness. Paul Bushell is a psychologist who has been campaigning a movement called Kindness Can. I recently heard him speak at a school prize giving and talk to parents, where he said, "It's you your kids want. Not stuff, not toys. Children just want to be noticed and affirmed by parents, caregivers, those that are close to them." Julie Hay is the founder of an organization called Singakweza, and she says the same thing. Essentially, the teacher is the most powerful and important asset for teaching. She equips teachers and communities on how to make games and learning programs from recycled toys and emphasizes an enthusiasm for development among both children as well as teachers and caregivers. Of course, it's fine to say all this, but it requires that as adults, we ourselves are centered and have some firm foundations in place to be able to offer kindness and care to others. So how do we do this? How do we ensure that we're not so busy, distracted, and pressurized that we have the headspace and the heart space to carry and care for others who need it? I've written about this in the blog post, which I've put in the show notes, about how we slow down. Essentially, it requires a measure of having people around us who we can share life with, where we carry each other's burdens, and where we share the joys as well as the tough times of life. And it is this idea that is the central theme in the new song called Age of Crazy.
Drown out the noise, won't you speak the words I need to hear?
When I was in my 20s, I fast acquired an affinity for artists like Jamie Cullum, Jonathan Butler, and John Mayer, as well as the classic songwriters like Cole Porter and George Gershwin. I loved the musicality of the jazz and jazzy pop genre, as well as the lyrical content that those kinds of artists provided. I guess that sound is still something that finds its way into the odd song I find myself working on. Tammy calls it slow lounge. Well, the idea is it helps you calm down just by listening to it.
The lyrics.
The lyrics.
said the lyrics.
I like writing and I enjoy diving into poetry. So this was a reflection on life in the modern world and how that still small voice is often what we really need to pay attention to amongst the noise. In the midst of the flurry of life, it's often the ability to take a moment to share your thoughts or inner world with someone you're close to pray, to reflect. I mean, how else do we carry everything that life loads on us? Check this out.
Nugget of wisdom.
I heard of a story when I was a teenager, and it stayed with me all the way into adulthood. There was a young boy who was perpetually in trouble. Raised by a single mother, she did everything she could to provide him with the tram lines he needed to navigate life. She was a wonderful and committed mom, carrying the duplicate role of parenting in the absence of a father who had died in the war. The boy was bright, eager, and energetic, and yet he was always caught trying to seek out love in the most unloving ways. He tore washing off of washing lines. He teased people's animals through fences down the street. And he threw rocks on the roof of homes and then hid out of sight just for a laugh of disturbing people from the peace of their homes as they barged open the front door only to find no one in sight. However, everyone in the neighborhood knew who the troublemaker was. The boy's reputation at school was no better. He was constantly playing tricks on teachers, getting into fights with boys older than him, and vandalizing property. Exasperated, his mother took the boy to a rabbi. She left the timid young man by the door, and as she went into the rabbi's office, she vented all her frustration to the teacher and said that the boy needed the fear of God put in him by a spiritual authority. She had had enough. The rabbi listened attentively to the mother and then asked her to call the boy. The mother stormed out and instructed her son to go and talk to the rabbi. The boy walked in nervously, avoiding eye contact. The rabbi said nothing, but observed the boy for a few quiet seconds. Then he stretched out his hand towards the boy, gesturing him to come closer. The boy took a step backwards. The rabbi didn't waver and continued to hold out his hand, his kind eyes and gentle disposition steady. The boy looked around the rabbi's office. There were books and furniture, and the room contained a tranquility which seemed void from the boy's world. The boy looked at the rabbi again, whose outstretched arm remained in the same position. The rabbi smiled and gestured again. For whatever reason, the boy stepped forward and took the rabbi's hand. He lifted the young boy onto his lap and held the boy's head against his chest. The boy could hear the rabbi's heartbeat, slow, definite, and steady. The boy remained there for a few minutes and then burst into tears. The rabbi hugged him and let him cry. The boy put his arms around the rabbi, and after some time, he stood up and wiped away his tears. The rabbi walked the boy to the door and handed him back to his mother. "We had a good chat," said the rabbi. The mother could see the boy's disposition was different, and she thanked the rabbi. The boy's life was never the same again, and his trajectory was forever altered for the better. Well, that brings us to this podcast edition's movie quote.
This episode movie's quote.
Anyone remember the film Bruce Almighty? The film stars Jim Carrey as Bruce Nolan, who is a down-on-his-luck TV reporter who complains to God, played by Morgan Freeman, that he is not doing his job correctly and is offered the chance to try being God himself for a week. While we were talking about being busy, there's an idea in this film which I'd like to point out here. It's this idea of being thankful at the end of the day for having work to do. And so we pick up the dialogue in a scene where Bruce meets God for the first time.
Well, good luck with that. I'm gonna go now.
Okay, but the boss will be right out. You must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
This is hilarious. So you're the boss and the electrician and the janitor.
Must be a killer Christmas party. Don't get drunk, though. One of you might need a ride home.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor. It's freedom in it. Some of the happiest people in the world go home smelling to high heavens at the end of the day.
Murray, what is this? How do you know my father, and how'd you get my pager number?
Oh, I know quite a lot about you, Bruce. Just about everything there is to know. Everything you've ever said, or done, or thought about doing.
Some of the happiest people on earth go home smelling to high heaven. I just love that. Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks for listening in. As usual, we'd love to hear your thoughts if you have any, so don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We'd really love to hear from you. And for more insights on the band and this project, we recommend you go straight to the source, ryancalder.co.za, where you can find all our details. Until next time, keep pondering the great deep.